Well, we want to change the focus a bit because of the fact that I received an email from a good friend of us here on Prophecy Today, a personal friend of mine as well, Dr. Rennie Showers, who has written many books, prolific author, has traveled around the world teaching Bible prophecy, has taught at the college and seminary level, a very studied man on Bible prophecy, but in addition to that, the history of the church as well. And the article he sent along to me was entitled, "The Churches Attack Israel." And I read the article intently to find out that there's a group of churches, most of them a part of an organization called the World Council of Churches, headquartered in Geneva, Switzerland. Supposedly, they are made up of about 950 million different worshipers. Now, that's a should be seemingly a large portion of the Christian community in the world. They're on the attack against Israel, even legitimizing terror. Terrorism is a way to rid the Middle East of the state of Israel. Rennie, thanks for being available. This was a shocking article that you sent along to me. Do you not agree?
Yeah, I sure do, Jimmy. And, you know, it's a fact that you've got Protestant groups doing this, Roman Catholic groups, Orthodox Christian groups, Copt Christians from Egypt, and other groups, you know, and as you indicated, the World Council of Churches and everything, and they're making all these horrible statements about the nation of Israel. They are, some of them are going so far as to deny the fact that Israel had the right to dwell in the land that God gave to them, you know, going back thousands of years and that type of thing. And they claim that the present state of Israel is a foreign implant in the Middle East that has no right to be there. And that basically they Israel ought to be out of there altogether. And it's just an incredible thing. I mean, they're denying facts of history. And obviously, they are not paying attention to what the Word of God says, you know, because as you well know, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 13, God said to Abraham he was going to give ownership of the land of Canaan to him and his biological seed, the people of Israel, forever. And then in Genesis 15, verse 18, God established a covenant with Abraham and told him that part of that covenant commitment was he was giving them permanent ownership of the land from the river of Egypt in the south to the Euphrates River in the north. In chapter 17 of Genesis, God told Abraham that this covenant he was establishing with him and his biological seed, the people of Israel, would last forever. It would be an everlasting covenant, and that he was giving them permanent possession of that land. And in Genesis 17, as you know, Abraham fathered a son through his wife's Egyptian handmaiden, Hagar, and that son was named Ishmael. And Abraham was saying to God, "Please bless my son Ishmael." And I take it what he meant by that is, "Lord, bless my son Ishmael by giving him the same covenant commitment that you've made to me." And God immediately said, "Your wife Sarah is going to bear you a son a year from now, and you will call his name Isaac, and the covenant that I've established with you, including the land promise forever, I'm going to establish with Isaac and with his biological descendants, and which would be the people of Israel, because Isaac fathered two sons. One was Jacob. Jacob fathered 12 sons who became the 12 heads of the 12 tribes of Israel." And then in Genesis 17, after he said, "The covenant I made with you, I'm going to give to your other son, Isaac, that Sarah will give birth to a year from now." But then he said, "Now, as far as Ishmael, I've heard your plea. I have blessed Ishmael, and I'm going to bless him and his descendants. And he'll be a father of many nations and that type of thing. And I will prosper them and all the rest. But the covenant that I've established with you, I'm not establishing it with Ishmael and his descendants. I'm establishing it exclusively with you and your other son, Isaac and his descendants, the people of Israel. Now, the interesting thing is, at least some historians of ancient history claim that Ishmael was the father of the Arab people of the world, and many of them claim that the Ishmaelites eventually migrated from the land of Canaan over into what today is Saudi Arabia, and they became the first Arab people. Now, God was not saying there he was opposed to the Arab people or he hated them, but he said, I am going to bless them and bless them abundantly, but the covenant that I've made with you and the seed through your son Isaac and Jacob, people of Israel, is an everlasting covenant, and that covenant gives forever ownership of that land to the people of Israel, not to the Arab people. And so these religious groups, they're totally ignoring what the Word of God has to say. And if they, and many of them are saying, well, yeah, but Israel, because it rejected Jesus in his first coming, that God has cut off that covenant now with Israel. It's no longer in effect with Israel, and particularly the land promise. And yet what they're saying there, by there, that therefore God doesn't tell the truth, because God guaranteed this covenant with ownership of the land would exist forever with the people of Israel and not with the Arab people. And what's interesting, you know, when you go to, and you know this very well, Jimmy, in Romans chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, this is after Israel had rejected Jesus as Messiah. Many of the Jewish people did. God said, Paul, through the Apostle Paul, wrote there that even while people of Israel are against the gospel, they're enemies of the gospel, yet the commitments that God made to them are irrevocable. Even while they're enemies of the gospel,
yes,
that covenant relationship still stays in effect with that nation.
Am I correct, Randy? Would you refer to this as replacement theology? And if so, what is replacement theology?
I would prefer to, Jimmy. It's absolutely replacement theology, because, in essence, what many of them are saying is, again, because Israel as a nation, not all the Jews, but Israel as a nation, rejected God's Son, their Messiah, in his first coming, and had him crucified, they are saying that God, therefore, has forever rejected the nation of Israel. He has no present or future plan or purpose for the nation of Israel even existing in the world. And, you know, that's not a new view. That view started within 100 years after the apostles were off the world scene, where some Gentile church leaders who were strongly anti-Semitic began teaching that false view, that because Israel rejected Jesus in his first coming, God has forever rejected the nation of Israel. And again, they either have to totally say the Bible is wrong, in light of these passages I referred to earlier, where God said this covenant with the people of Israel is forever between him and the nation of Israel, and that involves the land promise, that the land is theirs to own forever from God's perspective. They're either ignoring that, or they are saying that because Israel rejected Jesus, that God has broken his own word, and that in essence they're saying that God has lied. Now, you know, another interesting thing, and you know this, in the prophet Jeremiah, and you know, Jeremiah was ministering to the people of Israel when it was so much in rebellion against God that God, in order to judge them, was raised up the country of Babylon to come against them. And the Babylonians were going to level the city of Jerusalem and the first temple to the ground in 586 B.C. Well, while the Babylonians were on the way, and God, through Jeremiah, was warning the people of Israel, many of you are going to lose your lives, and those of you who are allowed to live are going to be scattered to other nations. But this is a promise he made to them, even when they were so corrupt, rebelling against him. Listen to what God said through Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 10 and 11. Therefore, fear you not, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet will I not make a full end of you, but I will correct you in measure and will not leave you altogether unpunished. And, yeah, God, as he deals with the people of Israel, that he entered into a permanent, unique relationship with them, he says, when you rebel against me, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to raise up other nations against you, etc. But I'll never make a full end of you. And that, you know, and I get, you know what's ironic, Jimmy? These particular religious groups, they don't realize it, but they're proving that the Bible is accurate. Because the Bible indicates that as the world is moving closer and closer to the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, and closer and closer to the tribulation period, that almost all the world is going to come against Israel, and that all the nations of the world, right before the second coming of Christ, are going to send their armed forces together into the land of Israel,
yes.
And they're going to sweep across that land. And according to Zechariah 12 and 13, two-thirds of the Jews living in the land that time will perish, but the one-third remnant get bottled up in Jerusalem, and then the nations come and surround them and begin attacking that city. And God says he allows this to happen to the people of Israel to break their rebellion and to the point where they will cry out for him to send their promised Messiah. And God will do that. And God will do that. That's very clearly indicated in Zechariah 12 through 14. It's indicated again through the book of Revelation, in particular chapter 19, when Jesus comes out of heaven at his second coming, and he destroys the rulers and armed forces of all these nations at the gates of Jerusalem in order to set up God's kingdom rule upon planet Earth. And that's when he will then regather Jews that are scattered among the nations back to their homeland. And the Bible indicates that during the last 1,000 years of world history, the people of Israel will be the spiritual leader of the world. In Isaiah 61, verse 6, he's speaking ahead of time to Jews who will be living at that time after the second coming of Christ. He says, you will be called the priest of the Lord and the ministers of our God, that the Gentiles will call you God's priest and God's spiritual leaders. Then in Zechariah, chapter 8, and everything we're told that during the rule of the Messiah, and he's going to headquarter there in Jerusalem, in the city, in the capital city of the nation of Israel, during that time, it says that Gentiles from all over the world will say, let's go to Israel's capital city, Jerusalem, to pray, to worship. And when they do that, 10 Gentiles will lay hold of one Jew and say, you take us to Jerusalem to pray and worship because we see God is with you. So, in essence, these people are saying God's totally done with Israel and he has no present or future plan for them. And that's, but what, as they're coming against Israel and saying that Israel should be eliminated from the face of the earth, they don't realize it, but they are proving the accuracy of the Bible that God says that's what the world's going to try to do. Coming up into the tribulation period and right before the second coming of Christ.
Yes, wow. Wow, what they're trying to attack is only enhancing the truths of it coming to power. Just a quick answer, if you will, Rennie. This is a dangerous doctrine, replacement theology, is it not? And if somebody listening to this conversation is in a church that proclaims this type of theology, should they not get out of it and find a good Bible-believing church?
Yes, they should. They really should, because they're on the wrong side, and whether they recognize or not, they're going against what God has declared is going to happen.
Dr. Rennie Showers, he is a theologian. He's a student of the Word of God. He is a prolific author, and he's a friend of us here on Prophecy Today. And my dear friend, if you've listened to the last 20 minutes of our broadcast with Dr. Showers, you are aware of what the Word of God has to say. God has not replaced the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. He does have a plan for them. That's our focus here on Prophecy Today all the time. And I am so pleased that we were able to have Dr. Showers explain this to us. Rennie, thank you so very much, my good friend. We're going to post this so people, if they miss some of it or if they want to go back and re-listen to it, that they can do that on our website, prophecytoday.com. But thank you, my friend. Keep on keeping on for Jesus, brother, and we thank you for how you've helped us, enlighten us on the broadcast today.
Our privilege, and God bless you.